Be turning, if you want to follow along, to Ephesians chapter 2. Does anybody know where that's at? Ephesians chapter 2.
Right after.
Anybody familiar with that?
Heard of it. That's the Baptist
church. Ephesians chapter 2 and 3 verses. Verse 8 says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith." And as Joe pointed out from Psalm 100, "And that not of yourselves." I mean, the very fact, two things here. The very fact, one, God seen it necessary to insert that.
Yeah, exactly.
So that there is no doubt as to the fact. Because man in his fallen state will take the truth and twist it to his own designs.
Exactly.
But here it says, "For by grace are you saved through faith." And as we later will look at this, that statement in itself declares God did it all.
Amen.
But it also, God adds, "And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." Then again, "Not of works."
Yeah.
"Lest any man should boast."
Amen.
"For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works."
Yes.
Not just works. "Created unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them."
Amen.
Now, what I want to try to talk about for, I don't know how long it'll be, but it will be more than one or two Sundays, I'm sure, is about faith and good works. And let me emphasize that. Faith and good works. Not just faith and works. In religion, everybody talks about works. But it's not just works. We're not created unto works. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God before hath ordained that we should walk in them. But this will be an introduction to faith and good works, but it will probably not be what most would even expect. But what I want to try to zero in on is actually one word. It's the last word in verse 8 as we have it translated here. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of," and then it's that one word, "God."
Amen.
It is the gift of God. And I thought about this. Some things happen. I heard some things on TV, which I will mention here in a moment. It just got me to thinking about this, and I thought, this needs to be tied into this introduction, because the point I'm trying to make this morning is God saves us.
Amen.
Now, God saves us. Is that heavenly bells? You know what Tim James said? It is God that saves us. But here's the point. It is God that saves us. Here's the question. Who is God?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Now, after what I heard on TV, I mean, I already knew this to be true. I mean, I know this to be true. But after what I heard on TV in the past week, it was again emphasized upon my heart and mind that we live on earth and we live in a country in which there is no knowledge of God.
Amen. You're right.
People have no idea who God is.
That's exactly right.
So when I talk about being saved by grace through faith, and I try to define what that means, most people begin from the wrong place to start with. They don't even know who this God is that I'm talking about.
You're right.
Okay?
Exactly.
Now, I thought about this because of what I heard on TV. And I realized that I need to start out defining who God is in a particular way. Because I thought, well, we could talk about God. He's eternal.
Yes, sir.
Right? He's eternal. And that's certainly true.
Yes, sir.
We could talk about God is love.
Amen.
Right? And that's certainly true. God is love. Now, not love is God. Love is of God.
Exactly.
But God is love. And here's the problem. If I say that, most people, now not probably not anyone here, But most people, when you say God is love, what they immediately do is they then have this mental picture in their heart and mind. Okay, here's what love is, and then they fit God into that picture. The problem is they're going at it from the wrong, as Joe said, they've got the cart before the horse. Here is who God is, and then love fits in that picture. And any picture that doesn't fit in that picture is a distortion of what God calls love.
Exactly.
So there's all kinds I could talk about. God is this, God is that. And these things are all true. But because of what I heard, let me make one statement, clarify it, well, not clarify it, but expand upon it just a little, but then tell you what I heard last week. Some of you may have also heard it as well. Let me make this statement. The Scriptures teach the absolute predestination of all things by God.
Amen.
Let me say that again. The Scriptures teach the absolute predestination of ALL, all things.
Yes, sir.
And in my context, all includes everything without exception.
Yes, sir.
There are times when we use the word all, and we mean all, but we mean all within a certain area or group of things.
Exactly.
But here I'm using the word all to mean everything, and there is not one exception.
Exactly.
I believe in the absolute sovereignty of God.
Amen.
As Ralph Dale mentioned to me on the phone here a while back, not the last time we talked, I don't believe, but probably the time before. It may have been when Penny and I went down there. But he said this to me, Walter, I don't believe God ever intervenes. And I said, you know what? You're right.
That's right. Yeah. That's exactly.
God doesn't ever intervene. I heard a preacher whom I love to hear preach this morning, and he kept talking about God will intervene. God intervene. God is not intervening. God is actively engaged at all times.
Amen.
He's not intervening.
That's right.
Now, Ralph was right.
Yeah.
Because our God doesn't intervene. Our God rules.
Amen.
Amongst the armies of heaven and amongst the inhabitants of the earth. Now, when I say the Scriptures teach the absolute predestination of all things by God, mention anything you can think of, and I have to say God predestinated that. Now, last week, I think it was on Wednesday I heard it. Last week, I heard briefly what I thought was finally a politician speaking the truth.
Yeah. Never have.
I know, Mason. My hope just abounds. I think the best of too many people. Last week, I briefly thought I finally heard a politician speak the truth of God's absolute sovereignty.
Yep.
I thought I'd finally heard it. I thought that here's finally someone who's going to say it in spite of the fact that it may kill his political career.
Oh, yeah.
I thought that. Now, what I heard was just the sound bite on the news. I heard it. And they said, well, we're going to talk about that. And they never did talk about it. And I thought, well, I've got to find out about this. So I went and got on the internet. Now, you know what I'm talking about. I thought I'd finally heard it. Now, this man stated that when a child is conceived, even by rape or incest, this is what he said, even by rape or incest, that God intended that to happen.
Yeah.
And I heard that quote. And I thought, there's somebody telling the truth. I thought to myself, thank God, somebody, some politician, finally spoke up for the truth. And when I found out where he's at, I realized I couldn't even vote for him. But then I heard the rest of the story.
Yeah.
I heard the rest of the story. Now, when he said this, automatically, immediately, the hubs of Hades broke loose.
Oh, yeah.
That's the polite way of putting it.
Yeah.
The proverbial knew what hit the fan.
Yeah.
And I heard later, let me jump ahead a bit, I heard later on a 24-hour news channel, I heard a lady, and I don't remember her name, but I remember her first name because her first name was Penny, and I remember that name real well. But she was a talking head on this 24-hour news channel, and she said, well, the man was just trying to express the sovereignty of God. And I thought, man, rapture. I'm serious. On a 24-hour TV news channel, you don't hear that mentioned.
Exactly.
But Penny, not that Penny back there, of course, but this lady, her first name was Penny, said, but in politics, it's just not a good thing to mention that.
Yeah.
You know what? She's right.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
But there's a sense in which it's not a good time to mention that anytime.
Exactly.
Because the response that guy got will be the same response you'll get if you say it. The problem was, once the hubs of Hades broke loose on this man, he immediately began backtracking. He didn't deny what he was claiming he was trying to point out. But he immediately began backtracking that he did not mean God preordained rape. This is his quote. I got it off the internet, and this is what they said. He immediately said, now what I mean, I did not mean that God preordained the rape, but God preordained the pregnancy. Well, you can't have both. You know, you can't have both. The problem is, there were people who will give, this is what I'm talking about, they'll give Calvinistic sound bites, but they'll not teach and declare without apology the absolute sovereignty of God in all things.
Amen.
Including rape.
That's right.
Now, let me tell you something. If this message, it's out there, it'll be on the internet. And it'll be available to people. And this message ever hits the airwaves, all Hades would break loose.
Yeah.
But I do not back down from this truth.
No.
Now he immediately began backtracking and said, I don't mean God preordained rape. He said anything like that is sick and twisted. His own words. His own words. Well, you can't have both.
Exactly.
You can't say that that child that was conceived through a rape, that it was ordained for that child to be, and then not say that the rest of it goes along with it.
Yeah.
Now his opponent, in this race he was in, he's this political guy running for office. His opponent then revealed himself to think he's the determiner of all possible deity. He come along with his statement. Of course, and that's the way it happens. I'm not criticizing him for coming out with his statement, but he was just as asinine as the other guy was. The first guy said what was right.
Yeah.
But then when the heat came, he backed up from it.
Yeah.
And when he said, I didn't really mean all that that may intend, I probably believe him.
Yeah.
Or either this, he's like Peter. When he really got in trouble, he backed up.
Yeah. Well,
I hope that's the case.
Yeah.
But I fear he knows some things and stated it, but once he got called on it, he backed up from it. I'm not backing up for this. The scriptures teach the absolute predestination of all things by God.
Yep.
Period. No. Exclamation point.
Yeah, exactly.
His opponent then revealed himself to think he was the determiner of all possible deity because he stated, my God, nor any other God, would intend such a thing like that.
Yeah.
So now he determines who God is. Right?
Yeah, he's
that's just as asinine.
Yes, sir.
Because it ain't up to men who gods are.
Yeah.
Even the gods of Rome, you don't determine who they are.
Yeah.
Now, granted, men come up with this, but you get my point. Humanity doesn't determine what deity is.
Exactly.
Now, his God may not be like that. I don't think he was lying. But let me tell you, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is. That is God. He is in absolute control of everything.
Yes, sir.
And if it happens, he meant it. He intended it to happen. I'll use that word too.
Yeah, amen.
He intended it to happen. Now, as I said, the news channel, they come on, they were talking about it. This one lady said, well, he's trying to define the sovereignty of God. I don't know. I don't know what he really meant. I know he was trying to prove his political point.
Yeah.
And therein was his first problem.
Yeah.
But let me tell you something. Being that what he said was true, so is the opposite true.
Yeah.
If a woman gets pregnant, and I don't care if she's a piece of garbage whore, and she beds down with someone and gets pregnant and has that child murdered in her womb, and I'm saying it that way because that's the truth, has that child murdered in her womb because she doesn't want to deal with the responsibility, that was still intended by God.
Exactly.
That was predestinated by God just as much as the other was.
That's right.
Both are. Because I'm not trying to play political sides with who God is. God is who he is, and that's just the way it is. And I don't have to apologize for God.
No, sir.
You remember what Elihu said? Now, listen, you can turn to that one.
Yeah.
In Job, let me look at it here. Chapter 33. Now, I realize this is not necessarily a pleasant subject. But I'm going to talk about some unpleasant things. Mm-hmm. But truth is truth, no matter what.
Exactly.
No matter how unpleasant it is. Job chapter 33, and let me just for the sake of time, verse 13. Now this is Elihu. Remember, Job had three friends show up.
Yeah.
Well, there were actually four people that came along.
Yeah.
Okay, now when Elihu finally came along, we're not really told. And there are some who say, well, this was Jesus Christ. That's kind of a stretch to me, because this person was another person who was younger than everybody else, so he kept quiet till all the older men had their say-so. And then he speaks up, but listen to what he says. And remember, Job's three friends were rebuked by God for what they said.
Yes, sir.
Elihu never was.
That's exactly right.
And listen to what Elihu says in verse 13 here of Job 33. Why dost thou strive against him? Against who? God Almighty.
Amen.
Why dost thou strive against him? For he giveth not account of any of his matters.
Amen.
God don't have to give an answer to any of us why he is like he is.
Amen.
He doesn't owe us an explanation.
No, sir.
That's just the way it is. God doesn't give account of himself to nobody.
Amen.
Nobody. Well, all this stuff happened. This guy said this, then backed up from it. His opponent showed himself to be just as ignorant of God as the other, at least as the other guy then backed up from it. Well, then the bloggers took off. I looked. I was on the internet, and I looked at several different sites that had the quote, quotes of what had happened, what had been said. And then the bloggers, what did they do? They manifest their vitriolic hatred for God.
Yeah.
Now, granted, they attacked the man. They attacked the party he was a part of. They attacked his stand against abortion. But their real problem was with who he said God was.
Oh, yeah.
That was their real problem. And I'm not standing up for the man's political party, but what he said to start with was right. If a woman gets pregnant, even through a rape, God Almighty intended that. Period. Period. The bloggers then manifest their vitriolic hatred, not for just political parties or a political stance. They manifest their vitriolic hatred for who God is, because that's what the statement was originally about, who God is.
Amen.
Now, the man may have meant it for his political purposes. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Trying to gather in what he thought would be the Christian. I don't know. It didn't matter. The fact is, what he said was the truth, and the world responded with vitriolic hatred. God can't be like that. Well, God is like that.
Amen.
Period. Period. And guess what? As I've already said, we don't need to apologize for the Almighty God.
Exactly.
I'm not here to apologize. Let me state this. Now I will add more to this, but I didn't. It's not that this is not an attempt to try to justify God. God ordains and holds together all things that come to pass.
Yes, sir.
If it happens, God Almighty purposed it to happen,
Amen.
No matter what it is.
Amen.
And He holds it together so that it does come to pass.
Yes, sir.
Everything. He either brings it directly to pass, okay? or he suffers it to come to pass, but either way, he preordained it to come to pass.
Yes, sir.
It's not just he suffers it to come to pass. It's not God looked into the future and said, well, that's going to happen, but that'll work out, so I'll ratify what men chooses to do. That's not what I'm talking about.
Yes, sir.
I'm saying God, first of all, preordained everything that was going to happen.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
And then he either brings it directly to pass or he suffers it to come to pass.
Yes, sir.
And I think that's one of the best words we use, permit, allow. The scripture talks about suffering it to pass. God is even what? Long suffering.
Yes, sir.
That means he suffers long. He puts up with it for a long time. But it's more than that. He ordained it to happen.
Amen.
Somebody said, well, you're an absolute predestinarian. You finally got it right.
Yes, sir.
You finally told the truth on me.
There you go.
Because that's what I am. You know why? Because that's who God is. God is the absolute predestinarian. I'm just a believer of that God.
Exactly. That's
it. Was that a bee flying around? If I go to Swarpa, it ain't because I'm going off on a political tirade. It's because that beast has attacked me. It's a fly. Okay, good. It's a fly. Either way, no matter what it is, God ordained both and God controls both.
Amen.
That either directly bringing it to pass or suffering it to come to pass. First of all, now you've already been to Job. Now just turn back. See, I didn't turn away from it. Turn back to Job chapter 1. Now, you know, many people know the account of, you know, the kind of the generals of, you know, the facts of the account of Job. But think about this. Job chapter 1. God Almighty instigated and suffered the devil himself to cause the murder of a multitude of slaves.
Yeah.
Now you hear my words. The murder of a multitude of slaves. The theft of thousands, I mean thousands, of animals. And a disaster to kill more slaves and animals, and then 10 children to die when a house collapsed on them.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
God Almighty suffered it to happen.
Yes, sir.
And look at it. Job chapter 1, and let's just read the account. Verse 13, and there was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine. What were they doing? They were partying. And that's even indicated when Job knew what they were doing and said, I need to offer sacrifice for them.
Yeah.
Lest they were cursing God in their hearts. Yeah. Don't come to me and tell, well, I got liberty in Christ. Don't give me that stuff. I've been there. I had to learn it the hard way. Don't come to me with that garbage. You know? Well, I'm free. No, we do not use our liberty for an occasion to the flesh. Period.
Amen.
Period. We're not set free so we can serve self. We're set free to serve God without the fear of damnation.
Amen.
That's what it's for. There was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the asses were feeding beside them. And it was a lot of them.
Yep.
Go back and look how many there were. And the Sabians fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain thy servants with the edge of the sword. Now look back, how many servants did he have?
Yep.
His household was great. You don't say great when it's five or six.
Exactly.
Do you? No. I figure it's probably several hundred. Because he had thousands of animals to take care of.
Yep.
What did these people, marauders, fell upon your servants and killed every blessed one of them? Who intended that to happen?
Exactly.
God Almighty did. And while he was yet speaking, now think about that. I mean, things happen. Trouble comes. Evil falls upon you. And you usually get a little chance to get a breather.
Yeah.
You know? But what? And while he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the fire of God. Was it a gigantic lightning storm? Maybe. I don't know exactly what it was. But the fire of God is fallen from heaven and hath burned up the sheep and the servants. More servants died,
yep.
Right?
Yes, sir.
And consumed them. and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. This is getting rough.
Yeah.
Murder. Right? Yeah. Murder.
Yeah.
Slaughter.
Yeah.
Natural disaster where people die.
Yeah.
And while he was yet speaking, it ain't over yet.
Exactly.
There came also another and said, the Chaldeans made out 3 bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword. It ain't stopped yet.
Yeah.
And I only am escaped alone to tell. I only. Why?
Yeah.
You think that was coincidence?
Okay.
God Almighty let thousands or many be killed and 3 to survive.
Exactly.
Did he not?
Yeah.
Now you can't read this and say anything else other than God Almighty was behind every bit of this. As a matter of fact, as I pointed out, and others have pointed out, Satan didn't bring up the subject of Job because Satan couldn't touch Job, nor anything he had. God brought it up. So have you considered my servant Job? Satan said, yeah, but I can't touch him. You put a hedge about him. God said, I'll take the hedge away. Do what you want. But you know what? He did. Satan did what he wanted. But he could do no more than what God Almighty suffered him to do.
Exactly.
And while he was yet speaking, it ain't over with yet,
yeah.
Joe.
Exactly.
There came also another. Well, they're slaves after all. Right? Well, see, God wasn't pleased to bring this evil upon Job. You heard what I said, didn't you?
Yeah.
God wasn't pleased to bring this evil upon Job and just leave it for them, the servants. It hit home, didn't it?
Yeah.
Huh? While he was just speaking, there came also another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a wind from the wilderness and smote the 4 corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead.
Amen.
God killed them.
Yes, sir.
And it's just me left alone. Mm-hmm. Then Job arose and rent his mantle. Did he feel bad? You bet he felt bad.
Sir.
He was probably devastated.
Mm-hmm.
You see, here's the problem. People like you and I, they say, well, you're cold and you're calloused and you're hard. You don't have any idea what you're talking about. But you know what? Yeah, I am cold and hard and calloused. And so are you. And so are we all. But there's also a God-given compassion and concern and love too. We're not pretending when we're angry and when we're joyful, either one.
Exactly.
We're not pretending. The world pretends. They pretend.
Yep.
They pretend like they're not angry, and they pretend like they really care.
Yeah.
We're both.
Yeah.
Angry at God. Now, come on now. Let's not play games. Angry at God sometimes for what He has intended to bring to pass. He said, and Job arose and rent his mantle, shaved his head, and fell down on the ground. But what did he do?
Yeah.
He worshiped God. And he said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. God intended this. God did this. Either directly or indirectly,
yes,
through
sir.
The devil. But God Almighty was still in absolute sovereign control of everything, even murder and mayhem.
Yes, sir.
Somebody says, that's not my God. I know that. I understand that. That's what we've been trying to preach. Maybe you're just starting to come around to that. But this is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This is the God of Job.
Yes, sir.
The Lord gave, the Lord hath taken away, but that don't end there. What does he say? Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Why? Because God is who he is.
Yes, sir.
And he's blessed above all things. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly.
Amen.
Now, notice it didn't say that God didn't do it. Job knew God was the cause of all this.
Yes, sir.
What he didn't do was be stupid, to be foolish in charging God with wrong.
Exactly.
That's the thing. That's what he's talking about there.
That's it, church.
Now, that's soul-wrenching, is it not?
Yes, sir.
Is that not soul-wrenching? If that happened to most, if that happened to me, you probably wouldn't see me for weeks. I don't know what in the world I'd do if that happened to me. I bellyache and complain about, I'm not even going into it on, I bellyache and complain about things that don't even compare to what this man went through.
Exactly.
I crawl up in the corner and pet myself. The girl used to talk about, poor pussy, poor me. Poor thing. You remember her? That's what I talk about. Oh, poor me. But Job didn't do that. Scripture talks about the patience of Job. I don't know whether I got that or not.
Exactly.
Isn't that soul-wrenching? But God's not done yet.
Exactly.
Ain't that something? God ain't. That ought to be enough for any. That ought to prove God's sovereignty over all things and be enough, right?
Yes, sir.
And then look at chapter 2. And again. Or again. Again. That word. That's a frightening word, Joe. Again. And then look at the context. Satan said, well, of course, but you didn't let me touch him, flesh for flesh, bone for bone. You know, Job, selfish. Like, oh, yes, the point is, yes, we are. But when God Almighty gives you grace, you also have some compassion and some understanding. And also this, you have great reverence for God Almighty. That's why I believe, like I believe, not because I'm capable of it, not because I'm able, but because God Almighty enabled me, Joe, and bowed me down to it. And again, what happens? Satan comes along, again, appears before God, and Satan doesn't bring up Job. Why? Because it's done with. Satan can't touch him no more. Can he? He's done what God Almighty suffered him to do, and that's it.
Yep.
And God says, have you thought about Job some more?
Yep.
What's God doing? He's rubbing it in. You see that? Have you thought about Job? And Satan said, well, yeah, you let me touch all that, but you didn't let me touch him. God said, touch him. Do whatever you want to him, just can't take his life. Now, if that ain't absolute, let me tell you, if God can control the devil, he can control me.
Exactly.
Don't think you're greater than the devil.
Yeah.
Because you ain't that great.
Exactly.
And you can take that any way you want it. I ain't that great. He can control you. And what happened? Verse 7, so Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown.
Yeah.
And he took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. And it wasn't the end yet.
Yeah.
Was it? And then his wife began to run the yap. That's right.
Oh, yeah.
She began to run her yap. Then his wife said, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. Why don't you just get this over with? And he said, you speak like a bunch of unbelievers.
That's right.
That's what he's talking about right there.
Yes, sir.
You're talking like a bunch of unbelievers. But he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God? Well, everybody believes that, don't they?
Yeah, exactly.
Ain't got no, neither one of them politicians and all of those bloggers and all of those talking heads, they got no problem with God being good to us.
Exactly.
Because you know why? They think we deserve it.
Yeah, exactly.
They think God owes it to us.
Yeah.
But what did Job say? We receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all of this, did not Job sin with his lips? And guess what? Then the bloggers showed up.
Yeah.
Look at it, didn't they?
Yeah.
Everybody else with their opinion on the matter.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Now see, I did tie this in, didn't I? That's right. Three bloggers showed up. Let me give you my opinion on the matter. And neither one of them knew anything about God in truth either. They knew some truth, but they applied it the wrong way.
Exactly.
And truth applied the wrong way, you know what you call that?
A lie.
A lie.
Exactly.
It's a lie.
Exactly.
L-I-E. L-I-E, it's a lie. Now let me go even further. And we got 2 or 3 minutes. Has anybody here ever considered the account, not just of King David. We know what King David did in the matter of Uriah the Hittite, don't we? He had that man slain by the edge of the sword.
Yeah.
And he had that man murdered.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
That's what he did. He had that man murdered. Why? To try to cover his tracks.
Exactly.
He got this man's wife pregnant and was trying to cover his tracks. And when it didn't work, he thought the best way to do is put him down now. Mm-hmm. Put him down now. Because after all, once someone loses their spouse, according to the law, they're what? Free to marry.
Yep.
Huh? But let me tell you something. David, in this despicable sin against God, David had a bunch of kids. And you know what God Almighty told David through Nathan the prophet?
Yeah.
Now turn back to, let me find it, 2 Samuel. And basically, let me, well, yeah, 2 Samuel. Look at what God, Second Samuel 12, verse 9. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword. Now, did David do it? Did David take a sword and stick him? No, but he sent it, made sure he was.
Exactly.
He was culpable. He was guilty. And hath taken his wife to be thy wife, and has slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast what? Despised me, and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. And that's not all. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I. Is that not what that says? Behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house.
Yeah.
And I will take thy... Now that word wives before thine eyes, there's certainly nothing wrong with that translation. But I began to look, and I looked in many, many, not just a few, in many places that word often is translated simply women.
Yeah.
Because it's not talking about a wife as we think of a wife. Mm-hmm. It talks about someone you have charge over, someone that's in connection with you. I will take that... Oh, who's going to do this? God said, I'm going to do this.
Amen.
I will take thy wives before thine eyes and give them unto thy neighbor.
Yep.
Is that what that says or not?
Yes, sir.
And he shall...
Yep.
What's that say?
Yeah.
And he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of this son. Mm-hmm. Now, folks, that's who my God is. That's who your God is if you serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now just bow down to it, and you don't have to account for him to nobody.
Exactly.
You don't have to justify him before anyone. Now, think about this. You know what happened? David had a son called Absalom, and he had a daughter called Tamar. They were brother and sister. But David also had other wives, and by another wife he had a son named Amnon. And you know what Amnon did to his half-sister? You know what he did to her? He raped her. That's what he did. He raped her. Why? Because God said right here would happen. Because God said right here, I intend this to happen. Now Tamar was a victim. And don't you misunderstand me. And Amnon was a criminal.
Amen.
That's just the way it is.
Yeah.
But God Almighty intended it.
Exactly.
He said it was going to happen.
Yes, sir.
His Amnon, her half-brother, forced, he raped her. She even pleaded with him, I'll marry, the king will give you to me. Give me to you. Don't do this thing. It ain't right. And he wouldn't listen.
Yeah.
She was going to marry that boy, Joe, to keep him from doing what he did. But what did he do? He forced her.
Yeah.
And you know what? His half-brother ended up having him killed.
Yes, sir.
Let me tell you something. God Almighty is not to be trifled with.
Exactly.
And God is not who we say He is. He is who He says He is.
Amen. That's it.
I don't like that. What else don't you like about God?
Yeah.
You don't even really like His love. Mm-hmm. See, that's the problem. Oh, we believe God's a God of love. No, that's not what it says.
Exactly.
It doesn't say God is a God of love. That goes back to, here's what love is. Now, God's got to fit into that. No, God is love.
Amen.
God is love. Therefore, love is determined by God. Not God is determined by love.
Exactly. That's right.
Well, I hate people. You should have seen the vitriolic bloggers or what they said about people like us. They hate us.
Oh, yeah.
I hate women. I despise women. And I just heard another blogger on the news this morning. Let's see if I got it. I didn't write this one down. He basically said, these people, now he would include me because I believe God intended all these things.
Yes, sir.
So he includes me. He said, they believe in rape. That's what he said. They believe in rape. Joe, that's what they accuse you of.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not even here trying to defend myself. It don't matter what I believe.
Exactly.
I'm talking about it is the by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. This is the God we're talking about.
Yes, sir.
You better be glad he wants to save somebody, because look what he can do to you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You best bow down and thank God, Joe, and sing praises unto his name, because he has the right to have you raped.
Yep, exactly. Yep.
And let me tell you what, that's not even the worst of it. At the end of your life, he has the right to send each and every one of us to a lake of fire wherein the worm is not quenched, the fire is not quenched, and the worm dieth not, where there is weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth.
Exactly.
That's why the songwriter wrote that song, Benny, we listened to, was grace that taught my heart to fear. Why? Because grace is particular, individual, sovereignly handed out, and most people don't know and will never know what grace is.
Exactly.
Because the majority will die under the judgment of God Almighty.
Right.
Now that's who my God is.
Yeah.
God hath created or made the wicked,
yeah,
even the wicked,
yeah,
for the day of, not judgment. Now, Romans 9 talks about him making them for the day of judgment.
Yeah.
But in Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 4, it says, God hath made even the wicked for what? The day of evil.
Amen.
I can just hear them. I can hear them. You hear them? You hear the bloggers? You hear the people showing up?
Oh, yeah.
They hate us.
Yes, sir.
They hate us. But you know why they hate us?
Yeah.
Because they, in fact, hate God.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
Because I'm just like they are by nature.
Yeah.
Oh, and yeah. God Almighty opened my eyes up to see who he really was. I can't help but bow down now, Joe.
Exactly.
I can't help it. I have to. Yeah. I know it. I see it. I hear his voice.
Mm-hmm.
I know who he is. Mm-hmm. He's the good shepherd.
Yeah.
He gave his life for the sheep, and we best thank God for that. Because otherwise, here's what we'll be. Here's where we'll be. Now, I've got to stop, but we'll start up here, Lord willing, next time. Hear Jesus speak now. Jesus. Because there are people, but that was God in the Old Testament. But now Jesus came along.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Isn't that what the bloggers say?
Uh-huh.
Mm? Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, that, you know, those old Jews, they twisted that for their own benefit anyway. You know, the winners write the history always. Now, but look at the winner. Look at what they said about themselves.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, this wasn't Israel writing about themselves. This was God Almighty raising up prophets to tell the truth both about himself and about the people on this earth. And let me tell you, I want to say, the scriptures teach the absolute predestination of all things by God, no matter what it is.
Amen.
God let a bunch of people and animals be murdered and slaughtered.
Sir.
Didn't he?
Yeah.
He suffered it to happen. But let me go. Here, what about Jesus? Of course, we know that he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Right?
Yep.
And I'm not making fun. I may be saying this lightly, but this is what they say. Oh, yeah, but they love that Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
Don't they? Come unto me. But you know what Jesus said just a few moments before? That was the end of the prayer.
Yeah.
That wasn't the beginning of the prayer. The beginning of the prayer was, Father, I thank you that you hid your truth. This is what he said,
yeah,
from some people.
Amen.
And you revealed it unto other people.
Amen.
Amen. Why even so, Father? For so it seemed good in thy sight. That's who God is.
Amen.
Period. And that's the Jesus. He was the one who thanked God. God did it that way.
Amen.
Right?
Yes, sir.
That's who Jesus is.
Amen.
Well, again, Matthew, well, turn to it. Give me just a few moments. Matthew chapter 18. And I say that, and see, this is where people go say I'm hard. I need to go see my grandmother. Well, I don't know, it may be the last time I ever get to see her. I don't know. But let me tell you something. This right here is more important than that or anything else. It's just the way it is, folks. Matthew chapter 18. Look, and it came at the same time the disciples, at the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called him a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven. And you know what? Just about everybody likes Jesus when he says that. Don't they?
Yeah.
Now you'll hear him quote that all the time on TV, won't you? But we'll look at what else he says. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whosoever shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones, what? Not just a little one, but which believe in me. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he were drowned in the depth of the sea.
Amen.
It'd have been better. Rather than him offending one of my little ones, somebody I own, one of my believers, one of my people, it'd have been better for somebody. Look, that a millstone were hanged. That's not he done it himself.
Yeah.
It'd been better if somebody else would have put a millstone round about his neck and put him in the creek. Killed him.
Yeah.
Been better for him.
He did
what he did. But look, well, this I don't understand that. Neither do I. But look what he says. Woe unto the world because of offenses. Woe! It doesn't make it right, Job. But still, woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come.
Amen.
But woe unto the man by whom the offense cometh. Amen. Both are true.
Amen.
We're not trying to justify any evil against God or any evil against our fellow man.
That's right.
But it must needs be. Offenses must needs be. And woe to the person by whom it comes. That's just the truth. That's just the way. I don't have to try to explain that, define it, or justify it. It's just the way it is. That's not only our God, that's our shepherd. Now there's a couple more. So much so, this is so true that in the book of the Revelation, Christ is spoken of as the Lamb, right?
Yes, sir.
And that's a glorious thing. That's a blessed thing, Joe. That has to do with redemption and salvation and compassion and mercy.
Yes,
but what does it say about even that Lamb?
Yeah.
That there will be people that say the rocks and the mountains fall on us and hide us from what? The wrath of the Lamb.
Amen.
Thing is, that is my God.
Amen.
That's who he is. And I don't apologize for him.
Exactly.
I don't back up. No matter what. So help me God.
That's it. Amen.
So help me God to never back up from that truth. Father, as we continue here, may we have fellowship in you, in all that you are, and praise you for it. In Christ's name, I thank you. Let's eat.